Hello and welcome to Press TV's News Analysis, coming to you out of Tehran. I'm Marzia Hashimi. Thanks so much for being with us. Well, there's a saying that the more things change, the more they remain the same. And perhaps Yemen is a country which epitomizes this adage. 2 years since the start of the revolution in Yemen, though the head of the government has changed, not much else has. And no one has held responsible for the murder of thousands of protesters. Former President Abdullah Saleh never served a day in jail, nor has he had to return wealth to the people. So many Yemenis today are asking exactly what has changed.
It was in February 2011 when a popular uprising erupted in Yemen, a country in the Middle East. The protesters, fed up with corruption and poor economic conditions, demanded an end to the regime of Ali Abdullah Saleh, which was supported by Saudi Arabia and the United States. Saleh was forced to resign, but that didn't stop the protesters from taking to the streets. They were demanding Saleh and his allies stand trial for their role in the killing of nearly 2,000 people during opposition rallies. Now, almost 2 years after the uprising, Yemenis are still sticking to the same demand. The current Yemeni government is headed by Abdurrabbu Mansur Hadi, who became president in a single-candidate vote in early 2012. He served as the first deputy under Saleh's rule and took power from him, based on a power transfer deal that was directly backed by the U.S. and Saudi Arabia. The deal also kept Saleh's allies and relatives in key military posts. It granted Saleh immunity from prosecution for crimes he committed during his decades-long rule and kept the former ruler as the head of Yemen's ruling party, the General People's Congress. But the people of Yemen say their revolution has been hijacked and blame this on the U.S. and Saudi Arabia. Yemenis have repeatedly taken to the streets, calling for an end to foreign interference in the country's domestic affairs. They've also demanded the expulsion of American ambassador to Yemen, Gerald M. Feierstein. U.S. assassination drone attacks on Yemeni soil is another reason for the demonstrations. Washington says the drone strikes target militants as part of its so-called war on terror. But the protesters see the attacks as another sign of foreign meddling in their country and a violation of Yemen's sovereignty. The demonstrators say civilians, not the militants, have been the main victims of the U.S. drone attacks. Anti-American protests have mostly taken place in Sada, a city in northern Yemen and largely populated by Houthis. The latest such rally was held on Friday with demonstrators chanting slogans against the U.S.
I'd like to welcome my guest to the program from Sana'a, Yasser Al-Muhallil, who's a political analyst. From London, Mohammed Qubbati, the vice chairman of Southern Civil Democratic Rally. And from Washington, political analyst Mr. Frederick Peterson. Thank you all for being with us. Well, I'd like to start this off in Yemen itself, in Sana'a. Now, Mr. Al-Muhallil, the people were continuously out on the street demanding that they really wanted a revolution and a total change in Yemen. In your perspective, exactly how much has Yemen changed?
Actually, we still have a lot of things that didn't change. The last regime still, you know, going on like it was. Exactly. We still have even something worse than it was before the revolution, before the change, youth revolution. Now we are, the change is not like youth wanted it to be. We suffered a lot from this governments, we suffered a lot from this regime, we suffered a lot from these people have a control over this country. And now we are trying to just bring back our revolution, and we stay on our goals that we went out in the street for it. And we're not going back until we achieve all our goals that we decided to achieve it the first moment we went out to the street.
All right, well, let me turn to London and get Mr. Qubati in on this. Why do you think that the major goals or the changes that the youth were looking for, they haven't actually reached those goals yet?
Unfortunately, all possibilities towards resolving the situation peacefully has been, till now, unsuccessful. People in the streets, generally in Yemen and especially in the south, they feel very much frustrated that there was no any concrete measures taken towards reassuring people that the dialogue conference will be heading towards the resolution of all the problems of Yemen. Unfortunately, till now, what we see on the ground, that the pathway towards this comprehensive and inclusive national dialogue conference, it looks to be it's heading towards a cul-de-sac. And if the 10 countries or the 10 which are overlooking the deal towards resolving the whole situation cannot do not take steps and measures towards getting back this deal on the road, then it looks that the whole deal has been derailed, unfortunately, and the people will continue to feel frustrated, and nobody can judge what the future will then happen in the future.
Well, let me turn to Washington and get Mr. Peterson in on this discussion. Mr. Peterson, there are some who say that the brokered deal, the Saudi-backed brokered deal, was what actually helped to sidetrack the revolution. And, of course, we know that it saw Saleh, former President Abdullah Saleh, stepping down. And basically not a whole lot of change with the new President Mansour al-Hadi coming in. First of all, why has Washington basically remained silent on this, and many would say even showing basically a pro-government stance over the people? Because we know with the one presidential candidate that the United States definitely supported the so-called elections, but there was not even any competition. Your perspective about the role of the United States in Yemen?
Well, it should surprise no one that the Saudis have attempted to intervene in order to stabilize a situation, a very critical situation on their border. As we have seen in the last 18 months and in the years immediately preceding that, a rising up from the people for reaching for change throughout the Middle East. We've seen this in country after country, and there has been government after government that has been changed, often with the at least the support of most of the people in the United States as they aspire to greater freedoms among themselves. And yet we see also in that change, as there has been a reaching for change, there have been, it's not an unmitigated, it is not a uniform reaching for freedom. There are others who tend to exploit or get inside and exploit these units and reachings for democracy, a greater voice for the people, and turn them, in fact, against the people into a more oppressive regime even than is there. There should be an argument to be made for stability. There should certainly also be an argument made for an ordered transition to a greater liberty among the people. The United States, I think you would find most of the people in the United States would support wholeheartedly the reachings for a more liberal Middle East and a greater freedoms there. However, there is a danger in instability. That danger must be guarded against by those who lead these movements. The United States has supported now, even in the new government in Egypt, the Muslim Brotherhood, which has often advocated positions counter to that the United States. And yet we see that in Yemen, there is a significant al-Qaeda presence that can be undenied, and it's indisputable. That is a threat not only to Saudi, to the Yemen government and people themselves, but to the entire region and to the world.
All right, well, let me just jump in here, Mr. Peterson, because you're saying, let me just jump in here for a second. You're saying that the United States wants stability, basically, and that is the goal, and of course, wanting to be more liberal and having more open governments in these areas. But what we have seen, as far as the United States, not only in Yemen, but many other countries, seems to point to the opposite of that. We have seen the United States time and time again actually supporting dictatorial powers that are actually crushing the people in many countries. So tell me, where's the line here that it is decided? Because we know that the Mubarak regime, for example, Ali Abdullah Saleh regime, both were supported very much by the United States, both very repressive regimes.
Well, in fact, on the contrary, in recent times, the United States had a hands-off policy toward Mubarak. They did not intervene directly to save Mubarak and had great sympathy for the people that were reaching to liberalize that government and those people.
The same
is true in Libya. The same is true throughout the Middle East.
Yemen.
And in Yemen, the sympathy is with the legitimate reachings for democracy of the people. And yet, as we would see the support, which I think is fraught with danger itself, to support an oppressive government. This oppressive governments are no strangers to that neighborhood. No strangers. In fact, it is the rule. It is not the exception that oppressive governments rule.
And would you say
however,
the majority of those oppressive governments are actually supported by Washington? All right, let me move on to Sana'a. Let me go back to Mr.
Governments are supported by neighbors.
Okay, Mr. Let me go back to Sana'a. Your take on our guest in Washington. Basically, he's saying that the United States has taken a handoff policy, more or less, in Yemen and supporting people's legitimate right to have a better government, a more liberalization of the government. Do you think the United States has taken a handoff approach in your country?
Yeah, actually, if we talk about the United States as a population, as a civilians, not a government or not a rural government, we're going to talk about those who don't know. We're not living with them. Maybe we hear voices that they really support us, they really support our freedom. But the United States of America, I don't think by their government, I don't think by the White House, I don't think we need this democracy comes by drones or something like this. We don't need it. Well, and we don't need this, you know, for example, their ambassador just go around the country like he's the main leader of our country. We don't want this democracy. We know what we want. We went out to the streets and we have dealt, all of us together, we have dealt about main goals that we wrote down with our blood. That the United States wants to give us that kind of democracy. I don't know what kind of democracy. Maybe a fall of our blood. This is what I mean. This is what I guess. This is what I guess because, for example, these drones keep killing us. Every time we go out, people in here are so afraid to go out from their house, scaring from these drones because it kills everywhere here in Yemen. Before I come here to the studio, I heard that some troops men in Bani Matar, it's around Sana'a, they have dropped down a drone that were going to attack somewhere we don't know where. I just this is what I'm saying. United States maybe it's just looking for its advantage. It looks for what is good for it for the United States. They don't look actually for our freedoms and democracy.
Okay. Well, what about that London, Mr. Kobati? Democracy being spread by drones is our guest is saying in Sana'a. How important is the role in the United States and also the role of Saudi Arabia and perhaps this revolution not moving on the track that the youth would like it to?
It's obvious that the whole deal, the Gulf or the GCC deal, these 10 countries or 10 plus one now even, have got an important role to play towards convincing people that this deal will eventually deliver what they have gone into the street for. Unfortunately, we know that there are many spoilers who are working against this against that deal and the whole resolution of the conflict. In a recent article written by a famous analyst in Yemen, she's a lady who is working with the International Crisis Group. Her name is April Langley Allen. She mentioned that there are spoilers there who are working against this, and unfortunately, neither the United States nor the rest of the countries who are who are overlooking the deal to go to go towards a successful resolution of the whole conflict have kept looking at the situation, and they have never taken any measures to get those spoilers out. The analyst has named those three parties which are now working against the whole solution, the resolution of the whole situation in Yemen. And we have seen now what's happening. Today is the 13th of January. We have seen hundreds of thousands of people in the streets of Aden, in the square of Aden in the central Hormaxer today. There were nearly a million people there who were, I mean, who have shown that this situation is getting out of hand. This day of, we call it the day of forgiveness and reconciliation solidarity in the South has obviously shown that all of these states, the 10 or the 11 countries which are overlooking to make this deal stick, have not actually done their homework well. The situation is getting out of hand. We in the South are now moving towards a more obvious goal of regaining our state and having full independence and freedom from all this situation so that we can move forward towards development in the South.
All right, Mr. Peterson, what about that? It appears that when the United States sides with a certain entity, and if it's against what the people want, don't you think it's just a matter of time before that pressure cooker boils over?
Yes, in fact, I do. I quite agree with that. And I should make a distinction here, however. The term was used, drones for democracy, in a somewhat tongue-in-cheek manner. These drones are not there to establish a democracy. They are there to defeat a threat to democracy, which is Al-Qaeda. They are there specifically for the Al-Qaeda worldwide threat. And that is a threat to the government of Yemen as it is to the people of Yemen. And if the people of Yemen were to find an affinity with that goal to expiate from any movement toward democracy the insidious elements of Al-Qaeda that are within, they would find a ready partner within the United States. The government, Saleh's government, has conveniently cooperated with the United States, quite cynically, I should say. No one would stand and defend that government or the oppression that they have brought to their people, except that in terms of their cooperation in that primary goal of the United States, which should be a primary goal of all people who are reaching for greater liberties and freedom, and that is to defeat those oppressors of that, whether they're in the terms of an al-Saleh or whether they're in terms of Al-Qaeda.
Okay.
And if we can find common ground on that, you will find a ready partner and ally in the United States.
All right, what about that, Mr. Al-Mahalli? Mr. Peterson is saying that the United States is there actually trying to basically end the Al-Qaeda threat to your country. Your take.
Well, Well, actually, Yemeni people got sick of this Qaeda game. I don't know what they talking about. I mean, look, here we have, for example, Syria. Syria is now, Al-Qaeda is a friend now. But if they don't go and fight in Syria, this in Yemen, Al-Qaeda terrorists, like they call them, if they don't go to fight in Syria, so we kill them in Yemen. Either they die in Syria or they die in Yemen. They are the same, okay? We have to stop this. They have to take their hands off our innocent blood. Maybe the Mr. Peterson from Washington knows how much of innocent blood was taken down by their drones. Maybe months ago he watched that kids and children and pregnant women was killed by their drones. And they always they say it's a mistake. What's the game here about the Qaeda? Why don't you just send them to Syria and get rid of them in there? This is what you want, okay? Don't bring your drones near to our houses, near to our innocent people. We are fed up here in Yemen. We are looking for our freedom. We are what's the possibilities for us to live in peace? This is, I'm asking the United States of America, what's our possibilities to live in peace? Maybe they don't watch their ambassador's activity here in Yemen. Maybe they don't want to watch his activity here in Yemen. Or maybe he would say something else. He would say, he's the main leader now. He's doing every single thing now here in Yemen.
Okay, we're just like about it. Out of time. Let me get Mr. Ghorbati back in this out of London. What do you think it will take, Mr. Ghorbati, for the Yemeni people to reach their goals?
I think the first thing, just a quick message to the Americans. I mean, they don't have only to take, you know, consideration for the issue of, you know, instability in Yemen or the or their security. The question is, without a real resolution of the whole situation in Yemen, then neither democratization nor development will be there. This will lead to more instability, and then terrorism will eventually prevail more, and they'll get the upper hand. But our people now would like to see that this exercise of moving towards a dialogue conference is going to achieve something for them. Unfortunately, till now, as I have said, we in the South feel that this is going to be a futile exercise. And unfortunately, even in the North, people feel that the spoilers who are actually working to derail the whole exercise and the whole deal are allowed to be there. They're still in the country.
Okay.
And they are, you know, creating havoc for the whole country.
All right, I'm so sorry to cut you off. So sorry, Mr. Ghorbati, but we are flat out of time. I appreciate all of our guests for being with us. Mr. Yasser Al-Muhaylil, political analyst out of Sana'a, Mr. Mohammed Ghorbati out of London, and out of Washington, Mr. Frederick Peterson. Well, thank you all for being with us, and thank you, viewers, and join us right here, same time, same place tomorrow for another news analysis. I'm Marzia Hashimi, signing out for myself and all the crew right here in Tehran. Thank you so much, and goodbye.